This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy game day. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. We are on location, Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD, getting ready for Monday Night Football. Pick up all the great food that they have pre-made here, or if you're cooking tonight, also some spirits for this evening, because I've got a feeling we're going to need plenty of that come Monday night kickoff in Kansas City.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. We'll see if the black and gold can get back on track here after losing back-to-back games. Steve, you know, this 2-2 start. After 2-0, everyone's feeling high. They're flying high. They're feeling good about themselves. That's been erased. So now you're sitting 2-2. The division is now kind of up for air. Like, you have the Falcons at 3-2. You have the Buccaneers at 3-2 after that Thursday night bout. And so now you have to keep pace. This is a huge game for the black and gold early on in the season.
Yeah, you mentioned keeping pace, obviously. 3-2 Falcons, 3-2 Buccaneers. And man, oh man, those darn dirty birds getting awfully lucky to start this season.
The Falcons could so easily be 0-5.
Yeah, I hate to see that.
Somehow they're 3-2. But that's where you're sitting right now. You're third place in the NFC South as of now. But if you win this game, you're right back up there with the Falcons and the Buccaneers. So
boom, two-game losing skid over, and you're right in the hunt in the NFC's division. You're not falling behind too far.
And Tyrann Mathieu made a really good point about this when he was talking before, you know, week four, that game against Atlanta, that, you know, good teams figure out how to avoid the multi-game losing streaks.
Right.
Right? You're on a two-game right now. You can't let it get to three. It's just devastating.
Looking right off the bat, the most important thing going into this matchup, sadly, is the injury report, Charlie. MC Health helped update. Brought to you by LCMC Health. 8 hospitals, one promise of keeping you well. Excuse me, looking at the injury report for this black and gold bunch. Out, Charlie, out for this game. Linebacker Willie Gay, linebacker Pete Werner, tight end Taysom Hill, guard Cesar Ruiz, center slash guard Shane Lemieux, who has now also been put on injured reserve. Defensive end Peyton Turner is also out, along with newly put back on the active roster in Kendra Miller, the running back. He just is not ready to go, though, for this game. Also questionable for the game. You got offensive lineman Lucas Patrick dealing with a groin issue. So plenty of questions for this black and gold bunch. Obviously, that offensive line still also missing Eric McCoy, who's on injured reserve.
So, yeah, you're looking without your starting center, your backup center, could potentially be without your left guard. You're going to be without your right guard. And you're going against one of the premier defensive tackles in the NFL. So, not ideal.
4-0, defending Super Bowl champs. Let's keep piling it on here.
Chris Jones is incredible, and we'll talk a lot about him throughout the show because he's a key. Stopping him is going to be a key piece for this Saints offense against the Chiefs defense. Chris Jones, I think so far this year, has 3 sacks. But the thing that stands out to me, Steve, the quarterback pressures. He has 19 QB pressures as a defensive tackle. Now, Deuce had a great bite about this where Chris Jones will play all along the defensive line. He either plays, you know, defensive tackle, he'll play different spots on the interior, he'll even move out to the edge. It's just really, really tough to kind of figure out where he's going to be at any given time. So, Chris Jones against a really banged-up interior offensive line, that's kind of sketchy, and that's advantage Chiefs for sure.
Looking at some of the other moves the Saints have already made today, guard slash center Kyle Hergel has been signed to the active roster. The team has also elevated from the practice squad safety Jonathan Abram and linebacker Isaiah Stallburn. The good news was we got DeMario Davis back this week being
right.
a full go.
And you need him because Willie Gay and Pete Werner
yeah. go down with injury. So, yeah, definitely brutal in that linebacking core.
Yeah, Double D is back, though, which is obviously huge given how banged up that linebacker room is as well. It's a couple different spots. And this is what happens at points where, you know, injuries can kind of, I guess – I don't want to say just overwhelm you at certain spots, but when you have multiple injuries at certain positions, that's when things get really tricky. So at linebacker, they're kind of banged up. Interior offensive line, they're banged up. So, I mean, the Saints, they're just going to have to figure some things out there. But specifically, like as we were just mentioning with the offensive line against the Chiefs defensive line, when you don't have your top guys, right, you don't have your starting center, you don't have your starting right guard, Lucas Patrick, you hope that he can play.
Right.
Like, I know
that's
he's questionable.
Question, right.
He's questionable right now. You hope that he can play. But if he can't go, then it's not just going to be Patchmake. You're probably going to have Ole Udo in there and Landon Young in there. And just it's going to be a lot you're throwing together. And patchwork.
And Connor McGovern, you mentioned patchwork. He just was signed this week and is
off
expected
the Jets
to contribute.
Practice squad. So that's an interesting note. The coaching staff has some recognition with McGovern because John Benton, the current Saints coach, offensive line coach, was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator of the Jets in 2021 and 2022. Where McGovern was there for basically the past 4 years. So they have a little bit of knowledge of each other. So obviously, you know, they think he's a serviceable enough interior offensive lineman to go scoop him up. And when you have basically two guys that can play center on IR already with McCoy and then Lemieux, you kind of needed to go get someone there.
Real disappointment for Shane Lemieux. I know Mike Dettillier's mentioned it a bunch of well with him. Wherever he's gone along his steps, this veteran just seems to always end up hurt. And obviously, again, now with the black and gold, boom, ends up on the IR just after limited action here.
He knows how to play, too. That's like the really unfortunate
part. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was pinned to play guard on this team originally, but when he had to play center, he actually showed up and played really well at center against the Falcons. Exactly. I mean, he stepped in, he stepped up into that role, and he played really, really well. So, I mean, losing him and having him placed on IR, that's just a double whammy, Steve.
Yeah, the black and gold, definitely a banged-up bunch. Hopefully, we can get Alvin Kamara through this game without any more injuries. We know he's dealing with the ribs and a hip issue. Unfortunately for Taysom, you know, Dennis Allen mentioned during the week that he was dealing with fractures with his ribs, so he's unable to go tonight. And I'm curious to see how this run game is going to end up shaking out just because we've seen how different it is without Taysom. He's that physical guy. You know, he's getting that extra fight for every single inch, you know, you talk about in football. But for whatever reason, unfortunately, the dude just can't stay on the field.
The Saints don't lose that game to Philadelphia if Taysom Hill's playing.
Right, I hear
you. I mean, it's just that important. But as far as the game against Atlanta, where the Saints outplayed the Falcons, like Taysom Hill played a big role early on before he got injured. And as Coach Allen had mentioned, the fractured ribs. So you always kind of knew that he was going to be out for this game. As you mentioned, the rushing attack is obviously super important to Clint Kubiak's offensive scheme. And they want to set up the play action pass by being able to run the ball. So it's super important. And Alvin Kamara, as you kind of said, Steve, he's going to play a huge role tonight, even though he's a little bit banged up as well.
Yeah, definitely one of those dudes that I feel like, you know, the most talented guy on your offensive roster, your most potent weapon.
Alvin's been killing it this year.
I need him to come up big in a big-time game tonight.
Yeah, he's been awesome. You just need him to kind of keep it up. There's been times where, specifically like the Eagles game, where you don't have Taysom Hill, where maybe he had a little bit too much of a workload.
Right.
But you're probably going to be asking him to have a similar workload tonight. If your offense is going to be rolling, you're probably giving him at least 20 touches out of the backfield.
Yeah, that was why there was a little bit of excitement. You saw that Kendra Miller was getting back in the mix, and maybe hopefully he could contribute anything from, I was hoping just like 5 to 7 touches even.
Right.
But that's just not the case for him. He's been ruled out definitely for this game, even though he is back off of IR.
Yeah, he was limited at practice this week. It was just good to see him back at practice in the first place because, I mean, he suffers a hamstring injury quite literally on the first day of training camp, and then we out of sight, out of mind. We don't hear from him for basically a month and a half, or multiple months at this point.
Right.
But now he's back at practice, which is obviously a good sign. But then it pops up that he's doubtful, and so obviously, you know, he's not going to be playing in this game. So Kendra's getting close, but he's not there just yet. So maybe next week, maybe a couple weeks from now, I think that getting him back for a game against the Buccaneers, which, you know, Bobby's going to be here in a little bit, and he's already emphasized how much more important the game against the Bucs is than the game against, you know, tonight against the Chiefs, because NFC South versus an AFC opponent. At the same time, like we mentioned at the very start, Steve, you got to keep pace with those teams at the top of the NFC South. Like, as far as what happened where the Bucks kind of blew it against the Falcons, I think that's fair to say. Now you got 2-3-2 teams right there, and you're 2-2. So if you fall a little bit behind the pack, that's going to make a big difference. But if you can kind of keep pace and be 3-2 and have 3-3-2 teams heading into, you know, week 6, where you have that huge game against the Buccaneers in the Superdome, you know, we'll see what happens.
What's interesting for the Buccaneers, you know, initially I was like, oh, they've got this great advantage of having extra rest because they played Sunday where the Saints are playing Monday. Well, now they got to evacuate the Tampa Bay area because of the hurricane coming into there. So they're going to be practicing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Yeoman Stadium.
Right. And, I mean, just it's crazy what's happening.
Wild scenario, right?
Yeah, like you send your best to Florida because they're just getting hounded and they got another one coming. So we know what it's like to deal with that here. But looking at tonight's matchup, between the Saints and the Chiefs, Steve, a couple things stand out to me. If you just look at the numbers, you would never guess the Chiefs are 4-0. Like, their offense has been mediocre, their defense has been really good, and all the Chiefs reporters that we've talked to throughout the week on Sports Talk have basically come out and said their defense is the reason that this team is 4-0, and they've drafted well on defense. And, you know, Mike has said in the past that Tampa Bay has done a really good job of drafting within the past few years, and they have, but so have the Chiefs. Like, you've added guys like Trent McDuffie, who's a premier corner, and George Karlaftis, who's a really good defensive end, to go alongside, like, their key pieces on defense, like the Chris Jones. So their defense is solid. Their offense, the numbers don't stand out at all. And another thing is,
they keep getting wide receivers picked off.
And we'll bring this up, too, throughout the show, because I think it's a really important point. The turnover margin for the Chiefs has been awful. Has been awful. Like, the Saints are +3 on the season, and that's with being -1 with their loss to the Falcons this past week. It's been a long 8 days, by the way, hasn't it? That since we lost to the Dirty Birds. You got to get that taste out of our mouth. But they're +3. They're still +3 so far this season through the first four games, which is really, really good.
Right.
The Chiefs are -4. And
very
that doesn't sound like
sure.
a huge gap necessarily for, you know, just at the naked eye. The Saints are 4th in the NFL in turnover differential. The Chiefs are 29th. 29th. So it's a gigantic gap as far as scoring average. Once again, the Chiefs' offense has just been middle of the pack this year, which is crazy to think about with Pat Mahomes.
Well, you mentioned Mahomes there. Look at his numbers compared to Derek Carr's. You'd have to do a double take.
Right, exactly. He's got 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions this year.
Right.
And I saw somewhere saying that he was leading the league for, like, MVP odds early on. Just like, what has he done? He hasn't
name
done anything.
Recognition, that's it.
No, I know. So you're looking
and
at
and the jewelry that he's got.
Yeah, exactly. a couple rings will do that to you. So far this year, the Chiefs, 23 points per game, which ranks 14th in the NFL, middle of the pack. A little further down, total offensive yards per game, 328, 14th, middle of the pack.
Yeah.
They've just been kind of mediocre. And obviously the turnover differential isn't good at all. It's at the bottom of the pack, 29th in the NFL. So there are a couple stats here as far as the Chiefs go where you're just wondering, how is this team 4-0? But at the same time, you watch them play, and they have these games where you get late into contests, and the defense does enough to keep it really close,
right.
And then you hand it to the big bad man, Patrick Mahomes, at the end of the game, and he'll win a game for you. Every single one of their games this year has been by one score. So
sadly, the pinstripes, the zebras have helped them out a lot too this season.
Yeah, you've seen that a couple times, haven't you? I mean, against the
Falcons.
Not
like anyone's noticing.
Yeah, the pass interference call specifically, Steve. Like, there was that one moment against the Falcons. There was one moment, you know, earlier on as well. I think it was against the Bengals too. So just a couple different games where, you know, the Chiefs have gotten the benefit of the doubt, let's call it, on some penalties, and it's obviously helped them pick up a win.
Want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. Want to hear what you're up to this game day. Getting ready for those Kansas City Chiefs, 4-0. They're going to be at home. Arrowhead Stadium, a 7:15 kickoff right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. The first take brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are at the Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Cajun Cannon will be here coming up 5 o'clock for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff. We'll be rolling on with more First Take right after this break here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into First Take. We are having a special edition live from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Bud Light countdown, the kickoff coming up next with the Cajun Cannon. That'll be starting at 5 o'clock right here, like I said, 701 Barone Street at the Rouse's Market. Bud Light Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. Charlie, just down the street a little bit ago, wrapped up in the Smoothie King Center. Pel's first preseason game, win-a-win-a, 106-104 over the Orlando Magic.
And we've seen some people walking into Rouse's with Pel's jerseys on. So, obviously, they came after the game, got some, I guess, dinner, get ready to head home and everything like that. But, yeah, Pel's an early game. It started at 12:30 today. So 106.
Early.
Yeah, no, it's preseason, man. Like, it is what it is. But, you know, I was looking at some of the numbers. I was listening to Graf and Aaron on the ride in and just kind of hearing how the end of the game went.
Yeah.
Basically, like, the third and quarter into the fourth quarter. A couple things, you know, stand out. 16 players logged minutes for the Pelicans today, which is just preseason. You know, like, the starters basically played 20 minutes apiece. Zion looked great. He finished with 16 points on 8 made field goals, but also Jordan Hawkins off the bench, leading the team in scoring. So, you know, hopefully.
Like to see that.
And that's something that we had heard from, you know, Andrew Lopez and Graf and everything from the folks that were out in Nashville, you know, covering training camp for the Pelicans at the campus of Belmont University, was that Hawkins was looking awesome, especially, like, I think there was a Wednesday practice that they said where he just couldn't miss. So it's really, really good stuff. And, you hope that he could kind of step into a role entering his second NBA season, the former lottery pick.
Yes, indeed. Like you mentioned, Zion Williamson, he played 19 minutes, ends up with 16 points, 2 steals on the day, also 3 assists, 8 rebounds for Zion. Good to see him in action. No Brandon Ingram. He did not play today.
No, yes. They said it was rest, I think.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's nothing to be.
Well, it was just preseason game one. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, the regular season is still basically, I think now, what, 16 days away, Steve? It starts on October 23rd against the Bulls. So they have a few preseason games, and then there's like a week, and then you get into regular season action. So it's right around the corner for the Pels.
106-104, Pelicans a winner. When we get back from this break, we're going to check in Kansas City with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Give us the lowdown on what's going on in that scenario over there as we get ready for Monday Night Football, a 7:15 kickoff right here on WWL on the Odyssey app. Be back with more First Take, WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day stuck up on Bud Light right after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into a special edition of WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day stuck up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. We'll be here till 5 o'clock for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. The Cajun Cannon then steps in on location as we carry this up to game time in Kansas City, where we check in with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Hope you're doing well, Jeff. How are things on a 342 in Kansas City right now?
342? Well, they're good. It's a nice temperature outside. Got myself a good lunch. I'm about to head over to the stadium in a couple minutes. It's going to be fun. I think this atmosphere is going to be something that the players are really looking forward to. Guys that played in that building are looking forward to going back into that building. Like Aaron Matthews, Colin Saunders, Derek Carr knows that building really well. I say building, there's no roof on it. So, yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Jeff, Steve and I kind of broke down the injury report, and it's very lengthy for the Saints. Willie Gay's out. Obviously, Pete Warner's out, so you're missing two linebackers. Taysom Hill out. And then what I'm really concerned about, and I want to get your thoughts on this and see if you've heard anything else, Cesar Ruiz obviously out. Shane Lemieux placed on IR. That's two offensive linemen. Eric McCoy's already been placed on IR. So then you have this third offensive lineman on the interior, Lucas Patrick, your left guard, that's questionable. So what's the latest on Lucas Patrick's availability for this game? Because if you're missing him, you're missing not just three interior offensive linemen, but also a backup on top of that. It's a really, really banged up spot, especially when you have to play a player like Chris Jones for the Chiefs.
Oh, no question. And even if Lucas is available, I'm not sure where he's going to play. He did travel with the team.
Oh, cool.
So I imagine they're going to test it out and see if he can go. But I wouldn't be surprised if Connor McGovern ends up starting at center either way, because you feel like, hey, we would rather keep someone at their natural position at left guard if we're going to be down a guy. So we'll have to see how that shapes out. But no, it's concerning. There's no way around it. I mean, he went into the season thinking, hey, the interior of the offensive line should be theoretically the strength of this offensive line. And now the only guy you feel like doesn't really have any question marks, at least in terms of health and availability, is Trevor Penning, the guy that we went into the season thinking, man, what are we going to do? Taliese Fuaga, he's been dealing with a back issue. He's been managing it. He popped up on the injury report with a knee. Dennis Allen said it wasn't something they were concerned about. He's going to play. But no, I mean, Chris Jones is tough to handle, and the biggest issue with Chris Jones is you just never know where he's going to come at you from. He decides when he goes on the field. He looks at the matchups and he picks whichever one he wants to go at, and he's going to have a lot of interesting choices to make when he gets out there against this group. And You know, I think the Saints have a decent chance in this game if they don't allow Chris Jones to wreck it entirely. And we saw what can happen when the interior pass rush blows up a game. It happened in week three. Jalen Carter made the Saints' offense miserable all day long, and they were only able to put up 12 points. They just were not able to run the ball. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it for sure.
Yeah, it's a good call out, Jeff. Specifically, you know, that Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, that was tough for the Saints. And I know that Cesar Ruiz had a really rough game in that matchup as well. As far as, you know, Chris Jones, it's also a good point, because Deuce had been talking about this back on Fans of the Pro back on Friday, is that he hunts those mismatches. But when you have all these backups on the interior of the offensive line, it's almost like take your pick at certain spots as well. And with Connor McGovern, as you kind of mentioned, him coming to New Orleans, the Saints picking him up off the Jets practice squad, the kind of connection there is that John Benton, the current Saints offensive line coach, coached him when he was in New York. He was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the Jets back in 2021 and 2022. And obviously McGovern spent basically the past 4 years in New York. So obviously they see a little bit of something there in the veteran offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman that's kind of been there, done that. He's a pro. And so, yes, if you have to put him at the center spot because Lemieux is hurt and because McCoy is hurt, like, you don't feel like it's necessarily the end of the world. It's just, you know, it's a backup.
Yeah, and I will add, there's a few more connections than just John Benton. When Connor was drafted to the Broncos in 2016, there was a few people on that staff. One was named Clint Kubiak. He was an offensive assistant. One was named Clancy Barone. He was the offensive line coach. And another guy was named Rick Dennison. He was the offensive coordinator. So he knows this group very, very well. He describes them as the best coaching staff he's worked with. So I think that's what you're kind of hoping, you know. You show up on a Wednesday or whatever day he showed up, you get two practices in, and you're asked to go run an NFL offense. In most cases, you would say, I don't even know if that's possible. In this case, you know, a lot of the terminology is the same. A lot of the schemes he's familiar with. So if he has to get on the field, you feel like he can handle it. But, man, I can't think of a more imposing environment to go into in terms of you got to run a silent count, you know, and you can't miss assignments in this game. So we'll see how that goes. But his story is really fascinating. I mean, he contemplated retirement after his injury last year. It was his second major knee injury in three seasons. He was 2 hours away from getting on the bus to go to the airport to fly to London with the Jets. So if the Saints waited a couple more hours, they wouldn't have had a shot at him because he would already been on his way to London. He turned around, got the last flight out of Newark, and he's here. So, it's a fun story. Hopefully it works out on the field as well as it did this week from a timing perspective.
I'm right with you on that, Jeff. Like you said, great story. Hopefully it translates to performance also on the field. Obviously concerning, the guy's got little time to get acclimated to life in black and gold, but we'll see what happens. Before I hit you with more football, how was lunch? I saw you tweeting out your grub earlier, and it looked pretty tasty.
Oh, yeah. They knew how to do food out here. I got some barbecue last night, got a nice biscuit sandwich thing today, and, you know, I was able to, you know, take a 20-minute nap because I was in a bit of a food coma. But, this is a fun area. I do like it a lot. It's a lot of hills. It's something I'm not used to.
Sorry if I didn't get into it right away. Just curious, weather-wise, we're not looking at any chance at rain in the Kansas City area this
Hopefully
evening.
Not looks, like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right. Looking like pretty clear skies over there, I think.
I mean, based on looking out the window, yeah, it's pretty clear. I haven't looked at the forecast. But no, it should be comfortable. It should be, like a nice little night game. Like, no, it's not going to be cold. It's not going to be hot. Shouldn't be much precipitation. So, you know, it is the Saints' first game this year outdoors. And they tried to kind of acclimate a little bit. They practiced outside this week, you know, with that kind of in mind. They piped in crowd noise. I think they actually brought out a second set of speakers to make it even louder than they typically would. So, I mean, it's not really going to replicate, how 60,000 screaming fans at Arrowhead. But, you know, they're doing their best. It's going to be interesting, you know, in the kicking game. If this ends up being a heavy kicking game, like it could be, how does Blake Griffey handle that? It's good. You know, the first time he had to kick outdoors last year was that Green Bay game, and he missed that potential go-ahead kick late in the game. So, it's going to be a factor for sure.
Looking at the run game, Jeff, you know, obviously Calvin Kamara is the man, and thankfully did not appear with any injury designation for this game, and I believe was a full go on Saturday for the Saints. So I know he's still dealing with the hip and rib issue, but he's definitely a full go tonight. Not in the mix, Taysom Hill with the rib issue. And we thought maybe there was a chance, a slight chance, that Kendra Miller could give you some limited snaps. That's also not the case as well. He is back, but he won't be in action this evening. So you're looking at really what you've been having with Jamal Williams and nothing much else to help out Alvin in the run game today.
Yeah, Jordan Mims will be active, but, you know, he's got four carries this year. I think they all came in week one, maybe one in week two, I can't recall. But, no, I mean, you know, Alvin, I think he's averaging the most touches of any player in the NFL. It's 24.3 going into today per game. And that's, frankly, that's too much. You know, we talked to Clint Kubiak earlier this week, and he kind of conceded, like, yeah, they need to be a little smarter about getting him a blow early in game so that you're not overloading him. But there's a certain point, like, hey, when these games get tight, he doesn't want to come off the field. They don't want to take him off the field. And so they're going to continue to lean on him. And, you know, you do have to question, okay, how can you get some carries for some other guys? Jamal Williams has only got three carries over the last 2 weeks. I have to imagine he's going to be a bigger part of the game plan this week. Because you just can't, you just can't send Alvin out there and let him get teed off on over and over again. He's already dealing with the rib injuries. So we'll see how that goes. But the fact is, they have to be able to run the ball in this game to feel like you have a chance to move the ball. You can't allow the Chiefs' defensive line to just tee off on your banged up interior line. And you know, I was talking to Landon Young, and you know, you talk about Chris Jones, and there's a certain point where, hey, I know all about Chris Jones as a pass rusher. It doesn't always seem like he wants to play the run as much as he wants to rush the passer. So sometimes you just run straight at that guy and see how he handles it. I know that's what they did to Micah Parsons back in week two. So now it's going to be – running the ball is going to be important, as it always is, and you're undermanned. So how they execute that today is going to be interesting.
Jeff, looking at – so we just talked about, you know, the mismatch for the Chiefs where, you know, the interior offensive line versus Chris Jones is obviously a mismatch in favor of the Chiefs. But on the opposite side, I think the Saints have their own little mismatch with their cornerbacks, their defensive back room, the secondary, versus the current Kansas City Chiefs weapons with – you know, Rashee Rice now on IR. Hollywood Brown's been on IR. It just seems like it's Xavier Worthy and Travis Kelce. Those are like the two premier weapons. I mean, they also have Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson. But, I mean, if you're talking about one guy that really, really scares you, especially with – Mike has said this as well, that Travis Kelce's kind of in the twilight age, I guess, of his career. He's getting up there. He's not as productive. He had a great game against the Chargers, but the first three games of the season weren't anything impressive. The one player that can burn you and scares you because of his explosive playability is the rookie, the speedster Xavier Worthy, who can just, you know, let it fly. So, you know, what do you think about the Saints DB room and how they match up against those Chiefs weapons, that room that's kind of banged up for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the prime matchup for the Saints. If you're trying to say, okay, where do the Saints have an advantage in this game? It's going to be, hey, our secondary is healthy. We have our stars out there, and they're going against a banged up Chiefs wide receiver room that they should be able to impose their will on. You know, Xavier Worthy is obviously the X factor, but, you know, I was talking to Jordan Howden about this. It's actually kind of helpful when you consider, hey, we went against Rashid Shaheed all training camp, so we know what that type of, you know, 4.2 speed is that can get on you so fast. So, you know, they're going to spend a lot of time, I'm sure they spent a lot of time this week, you know, going over, hey, we can't let this guy get on top of us. Make sure to keep him, you know, like if he's going to make a play underneath, he's going to make a play underneath. You cannot allow him to go for a 70-yard touchdown because you're getting your eyes in the backfield. So I expect the Saints maybe play a little deeper than they might in other matchups. But no, I think you're going to continue to be physical on the outside. You're going to say, hey, can Travis Kelce win? I'm not convinced Travis has really lost a step. I think there's some element of their not emphasizing him as much in the offense to try to save him. When you're going for a third consecutive Super Bowl, a win in week three at the expense of your star tight end might be not worth it. But either way, like I don't think you're going to have the luxury to do that if that's what you've been doing. We talked to Joe Woods, and one thing he said was like, hey, you can look at the numbers and you can say, hey, the numbers aren't there, but you watch him on tape, he's still that guy. Like, you don't see a drop-off in athleticism from him. And the Saints have struggled to cover tight ends not named Kyle Pitts over the last couple of years. So, you know, he's a guy who – I am slightly concerned that he blows up today, that this is kind of the Travis Kelce coming out party for this season. I imagine Taylor Swift's going to be in attendance. Maybe he wants to show off. I don't know. But that, how they handle that Travis Kelce matchup is going to be key, I think.
Jeff, one more thing. Looking at the Davante Adams rumors, obviously his name's been out there as trade bait for a bunch of teams that could be interested. His, you know, preference, he's named the New York Jets, New Orleans Saints, obviously familiarity with the quarterback. I've heard also Baltimore Ravens could be a favorite in the mix for Davante Adams, which just seems unfair to me. But looking at the likelihood of maybe something happening for this black and gold squad, how are you feeling about the, you know, the idea of Davante in a Saints uniform? Obviously, I think you'd be all aboard about adding the weapon, but is it really feasible for this team to do?
I mean, it's feasible. It's just a question of how much they want to commit. You would be eliminating all of your flexibility if you were to try to do something like that. I think any team in the NFL would improve if they added Davante Adams. My only issue with the conversation is, if I had to pick one position that I feel like, hey, these guys have done exactly what they've needed to do, it's wide receiver. It's Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave. Obviously, Rashid had that bad play on the punt, but in terms of a wide receiver, I think he went on to have his best game as an all-around receiver as a member of the New Orleans Saints. I think it was 8 catches for 83 yards, several big first downs. So I don't know. Like, I don't look at it. I don't look at adding a wide receiver as a huge need. And if it comes down to it and someone else comes available and you can add a piece on the offensive line as a trade deadline or something like that, and you're unable to because you've committed to a wide receiver when you need something else, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the idea, but at the end of the day, I don't think anyone would complain if you added a guy like Davante Adams to your offense. So that's where I am right now. I don't expect the Saints, you know, I think if it got to the point where the Saints could make the deal on their terms, you know, I could see it happening. I just don't see them getting into a bidding war. And so if it's the Saints and the Jets are willing to put up more, it's probably the Jets, right? That's kind of where I land on it.
Appreciate the time as always, Jess. You make sure you don't miss that bus to the stadium. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. All right, y'all.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer, on the scene in Kansas City, getting ready for the sidelines of that Monday night matchup in Arrowhead Stadium. Definitely jealous of where he's at today.
I've heard it's an awesome atmosphere. I've never been.
Me neither.
My buddies actually went for the Week 2 matchup, the Bengals at the Chiefs.
Okay.
And like the Burrowhead stuff.
Yeah.
It was a fun matchup. Now the Chiefs got the benefit of the doubt on a late call, which seems to happen pretty often with them. But I've always wanted to go out to Arrowhead. I've heard it's a great, great stadium.
We are on a special edition of First Take here, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. They'll be leading up into the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff, which will be coming up at 5 o'clock with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. You're going to want to get his takes on Monday Night Football. We'll be back with First Take after this here on WWL. Stay tuned. We are back here on First Take. WWL's First Take is brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light. Broadcasting from the Rouse's Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. The Pelicans game just ended. The Birds coming out on top in their first matchup of the year. Good to see them getting the W. Will be interested to see more of Pelicans action. They took down the Orlando Magic 106-104 in their first preseason game, and I think they turn around and play them right again in the second one, right?
Yes, they do, and I think it's on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. But real quick, Steve, we're heading to the top of the hour. I want to let people know we got a bunch of audio that we'll play in the next hour, starting with Derek Carr. And Derek Carr in the and his time with the Raiders, obviously, divisional rivals, he is no stranger to Arrowhead and the Kansas City Chiefs. So got a couple numbers to share about that, because his history against the Chiefs, not necessarily great, but he has played them a bunch. So he's obviously knowledgeable about Arrowhead and the atmosphere that the Saints are going to be playing tonight in primetime.
Get your pregame party going. First Take and Rouse's Market. We're here 701 Barone Street in the CBD, coming back with more right after this. So stay tuned on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Oh, a happy Monday, the October the 7th. Today, we got Monday Night Football in action. The Saints at Kansas City trying to knock off the Chiefs from Undefeatedsville. They've been 4-0 this season, and I know woulda, coulda, shoulda. The Saints could have as well.
Yeah, it's not an impressive 4-0. I hate to say it. I hate to be the one to say it, but some of these numbers, they just don't jump off the page. Now, the Chiefs, and this is something that we've heard from a bunch of reporters, they're a winning team.
Right.
When you get down into the clutch moments, and this is something the Saints have struggled with at times this year, they find a way to win. And that's part of the reason why. You've won four straight one-possession games.
Proven.
And yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people are taking the Saints to cover because it's like a 5.5-point spread up in Arrowhead. But that's part of the reason why. The Saints and Chiefs, a lot of people are expecting them to play a close game, but can the Saints be the one to finally pick up a close win? Their two wins are by blowout fashion. They didn't even have to worry about it. When you got into a tight game with Atlanta, and when you got into a tight game with Philadelphia, you fell a little bit short. Now, those are two different games, so we're moving on to week five. You're trying to end this losing skid. But if you get into a close game, it feels like Kansas City always has the edge, no matter who they're playing, when it's like a one score in the fourth quarter.
Well, you know, you also got the edge also with the referees, too. So the Saints got to be extra perfect this evening, if that's possible.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Some things that jump off the page with, you know, the Chiefs, is that their offense, and this is something that we kind of talked about in the first hour, their offense is middle of the pack in a lot of different categories. But one thing that they're not middle of the pack in, and they're actually bottom of the pack in, and this could be a huge key for this game, is the turnover differential.
Right.
As we kind of mentioned, the
Saints,
very
surprising,
early on +3, which ranks fourth in the NFL. The Chiefs -4, 29th. That is a gigantic ocean-sized gap. So if you can – and Pat Mahomes hasn't taken care of the ball this year. I know everyone, like, lambasts people like Josh Allen, right, for his turnovers. Pat Mahomes has been very mediocre as far as turning the ball over this year. He's 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions right now.
Right.
If you can force some turnovers, get yourself some extra possessions, that's how you kind of get this game close. And then once you get to the end, you got to make sure you close it out.
You look at a big problem, too, for this Kansas City team. Obviously, they've been decimated at the wide receiver position.
Yes.
Due to injury, but also even their running back situation's a mess.
Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco's out, and he's going to be out for basically, I think, the next 6 weeks at this point. So that is a huge piece for their offense.
There was hope that they'd get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this week, but that's not the case.
And then you mentioned their wide receiver room. They've been without Hollywood Brown for the entire season, but also Rashee Rice, who got injured against the Chargers because Pat Mahomes fell into him.
That's like, a terrible scenario.
He took out his own wide receiver one, which is super unlucky, but it's something that the Saints, now you don't have to deal with a stud receiver for the Chiefs, and you're not dealing with their top running back. You're looking at the Chiefs' weapons. I mean, you got Travis Kelce still there. And you have, you know, Xavier Worthy, the rookie speedster. But outside of that, who really kind of worries you with the Saints defense playing the way that it is?
Yeah, I'm not really quick to write off Travis Kelce as like some other folks
have. I'm
not
necessarily either.
I know he's definitely, obviously, you get older, you start to decline a little bit. But I still think he's an elite tight end in this league. And obviously hasn't had the fast start a lot of people, especially fantasy football folks, may have liked. But he did kind of get going last week.
Yes, he did, with 7 catches against the Chargers. And I think that basically almost doubled his season total. The first 3 weeks were not kind to Travis Kelce, but he kind of got back on the horse, so to speak, in that week 4 victory, 17-10 over the Chargers. So, you know, you can't let him kind of gain confidence because people are saying that he's washed. I won't go that far. I think, you know, Jeff made a pretty good point when we interviewed him last hour about, you know, Travis Kelce, maybe they're saving him for a later run. They're already 4-0. There's no real reason to risk him, like, getting injured or anything like that when you already have all these injuries to your wide receiver core. So Travis Kelce's an interesting piece. You can't let him beat you, and you can't let Xavier Worthy beat you. Like, if Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson are the guys beating you in the passing attack, I mean, that's a tough night. But those are the two weapons in the passing game for Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs right now that worry you, because they are without Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice.
Well, someone that's familiar with this atmosphere and setting tonight, Derek Carr, obviously spent a ton of years with the Raiders organization in Oakland and Las Vegas. So had two games a year against this Kansas City squad. So every year he was in Arrowhead, and he talked about the stadium, the atmosphere. Here's what Carr had to say this week about being back in KC.
Well, I've always said, like, it's one of my favorite environments. The crowd is unbelievable. You know, it just it feels like that college atmosphere, you know, just diehard fans, super loud, you know, one of, if not the loudest stadium I've ever played in. And, you know, and they have a really good football team. So it's a fun environment to play in, very tough to execute and win in. But again, one of my favorite places to play. They'll say all kinds of crazy stuff about your family and you and all that, and it's all a part of it, especially to me since I played there so many times. There's one guy that always says a lot of stuff to me. but we've had fun over the years, but you know, for sure one of the toughest places to play.
You think that one guy that Derek Carr is talking about knows who he is and is proud of himself?
No, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I guess the trash talk is definitely potent, but I promised the folks that I would get the stats about Derek Carr against the Chiefs. They're not good.
Oh.
Let's be flat out with it. Specifically the record. The numbers aren't the worst. They're still not great. But he played, you know, a lot of games against good Chiefs teams when he was on bad Raiders teams. So you have to keep that in mind. But the record in 17 games in his career against the Chiefs, Derek Carr is 3-14. It's not great. Now, the numbers tell a little bit of a different story.
Sure.
As far as passing yards, this is all via StatMuse, by the way. He's upwards of 4,200 yards. It's actually 4,120 yards. And then he has 26 touchdowns to 17 interceptions in those 17 games.
Okay.
A passer rating of 83. So it's not the worst in the world. The one thing is that, you know, the Chiefs have been really solid for a long time now. Like, they were even good before the Mahomes days when Alex Smith was kind of leading them a little bit. But as far as his success rate when he was with the Raiders against the Chiefs, just has not really been there. Now, you know, it's a different team, of course, with the Saints, and it's a different team, obviously, now with what the Chiefs are missing and what they've added in that time as well. But it's just kind of providing a little bit of, I guess, backstory that Derek Carr against the Chiefs in his career has not really found that much success.
More on Carr on this Kansas City squad. He's talked about the Chiefs' defense specifically.
Year after year, they create chaos. They create problems for the quarterback. The pressures, you have to have a pressure plan. You got to be ready for all the stuff Spags has in his system. I go back and I remember looking at stuff every year I've ever played him, you know, and just all the stuff that I know that he could potentially or possibly do. And, you know, so there's so much there. And he's, again, talk about an amazing person. I love him as a person. He knows that, but not this week. You know, he's definitely, for a quarterback, a challenge to go against because he knows how to put his guys in good positions with their vision on the quarterback and things like that. So it's always a tough challenge, but it's always fun to go out and compete against the best. You know, they're the champs, and, you know, what opportunity for our team to go, you know, see what we got.
The old, to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's the Saints tonight. They are going against the best.
It's really funny. I think I was looking this up when we were kind of previewing the Super Bowl this past year. Steve Spagnuolo, his career trajectory as far as being a DC has been so funny to follow because he's either absolutely terrible in a spot or fantastic. And obviously it's been
working in KC, right?
He was awful in New Orleans, but he's got it working and he's got it rolling in Kansas City. And as we mentioned as well, Steve, man, they got a superstar on that defensive line with Chris Jones, talking about, you know, how they can get after the quarterback. Chris Jones has 3 sacks, but the one thing, 19 quarterback pressures this year for the star interior defensive tackle.
Pressure breaks pipes, as they say, too.
And Deuce, kind of like as I mentioned, Deuce, when he was talking about Chris Jones and how he lines up on the defensive line, you know, he's not just a defensive tackle. They play a 4-3, but he can line up in different spots on the defensive line. He can even get put out on the edge. He's like, as Deuce has mentioned, he's kind of hunting the mismatch. He's going to look for where the weak link is on the offensive line or how they're kind of playing pass pro and how they're kind of setting up. And Chris Jones is going to hunt that and try and get after the quarterback. And, I mean, he's been excellent at doing it. He's the reigning AFC Defensive Player of the Week. So he's been fantastic for them for a long time. And he's definitely kind of the guy that scares you on that defense the most. But they have other really good pieces, too. Like, they move on from L'Jarius Sneed in the offseason, who goes to Tennessee. But then they also have guys like Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, guys that they used first-round picks on that have worked out and kind of hit and Spagnuolo has been kind of the maestro of it all, so to speak.
You mentioned Chris Jones, obviously the biggest threat on that D. Derek Carr talked about identifying where this guy is lined up constantly an issue.
It's a challenge, you know, and Spags knows that. You know, he knows where to, you know, make it hard on the system or make it hard on your team or personnel or whatever. And you know, when you have a player like that, you know, just like, you know, you think of how they move Micah Parsons around. We talked about that. You know, he plays everywhere. And how can you create challenges? This game's all about, you know, creating challenges for the other side. You know, how do we create a mismatch? How do we create an advantage for us? And when you have a guy like Chris, you know, you can move him on the front and, you know, do different things for not just in the pass game, but in the run game. And, you know, the things he's able to do and create problems for an offense, it's a big challenge.
You heard Derek Carr there mention a guy like Micah Parsons, who the Saints were able to neutralize in that game against Dallas. Hopefully they can do some of the same against Chris Jones today, but definitely a different beast here, because just a guy that pretty much picks where he's going to line up after surveying the defense. He overlooks it and then lines up, you know, finding that matchup that he wants to go up against.
So here's the issue with the Micah Parsons thing, because what they did against Parsons, Parsons even talked about the game plan that they set up against the Cowboys defense was so excellent, they ran directly at him.
Right.
And they kind of, he described it as like he was caught in a maze, like he was stuck in a maze trying to figure out how to get to the quarterback. And so all credit in the world to the Saints coaching staff for that game plan. The issue with Chris Jones is he's, you know, a little bit of a different player, obviously. He's still a great pass rusher. And Jeff had mentioned that he's not, he doesn't want to stop the run. He is very capable against the run. And, you know, different Chiefs reporters have told us that, too. He is a complete defensive lineman. He will get after the passer when he needs to, but he'll also stop the run to kind of set up those, you know, obvious passing downs where he can get after the passer, which he obviously loves to do.
We're here at 701 Barone Street, the Rouse's Market in the CBD. Everybody getting their stuff for Monday Night Football, whether it's pre-made meals, anything you want to get cooking at home for the special matchup against those Chiefs. You're making a little barbecue maybe in your backyard. Also some spirits, wine, beer, everything you want here at the Rouse's Market you get for game day. We're here on First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We're going to take a break, come back with more audio when we get right back here on WWL Saints Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're at the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. First Take leading into the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at the Cajun Cannon at 5 o'clock. Want to remind everybody, Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints Legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Crew. Make sure you check that out. Charlie, getting into more of our audio. Very interesting fellow. We talked a little bit about this with Jeff Nowak, our sideline reporter, in the earlier segment. Connor McGovern.
Yep.
The Saints had to bring in an offensive lineman because the numbers are thin right now.
Boy. Yeah.
And the story with him, you know, is simply amazing. The guy was literally on his way getting ready to go to London with the New York Jets, and then the Saints snag him off the practice squad and bring him into the active roster.
And it's a big one, too. Connor McGovern's played over 90 games, started over 90 games. He's actually played over 100 games in his NFL career. He's a veteran. He's been there, done that. But the one thing, obviously, as we've mentioned, with the Saints' banged-up interior offensive line, no Cesar Ruiz, no Eric McCoy, and now today, Shane Lemieux getting put on the IR. Like, you're down your starting center, you're down your backup center. So you go out.
We already lost Ramchek too earlier in the year, so it's like, man, we're hurting at O-line.
Yeah, your depth is going to be tested 100%. But going out and getting someone like McGovern, who, as Jeff had mentioned, as we talked about as well, is familiar with the coaching staff, familiar with Kubiak, familiar with, obviously, John Benton, the offensive line coach, you know, Rico Dennison, the senior offensive assistant and run game coordinator. So, you know, it's not like it's brand new to him that he's being thrown into the fire necessarily, even though he is a veteran. He's kind of – he recognizes, you know, what they want to do. A lot of the terminology is the same. So, it's a big pickup for a team that's desperately in need of help of interior offensive line.
You mentioned those J-E-T-S, Jets. McGovern played 7 games for them last season before he dislocated his knee. Ended up, you know, working his way back from that. Talked about even contemplating, should he retire? But McGovern talked about the process of getting back on the field from that injury.
A lot of working out. You know, when I got hurt, I wasn't sure. I was contemplating if I was going to retire or not. I wanted to heal up the best I could. Treat it like I was coming back. It's the best way to heal. My knee's been feeling great. Didn't have the offers I was looking for prior to camp. And then once season started, my knee felt really good and I was ready to roll. So now we're here.
You mentioned, obviously, McGovern having some familiarity with the Saints coaching staff, and he was asked about how much is a benefit for him at least having some kind of familiarity there.
It's huge. I was with JB for 2 years, so I had the O-line. That's an easy slide in with call-wise. And then I was, with Coach Kubiak and his dad and Rico and Clancy and all those guys back in Denver when I was a rookie, actually. So I've been having to pull deep from the memory bank on a couple of things. Luckily, with a lot of the JB stuff, it's still pretty fresh. So, the transition would be much harder if I didn't have that familiarity. And that makes it a lot easier. And I really enjoyed my time getting back with, you know, some of my favorite coaches I've been with my NFL career.
You heard McGovern there also talk about, you know, testing those memory banks, going back in there to see what he can recall from past playbooks, and how comfortable is he with the Saints right now?
Yep. Yeah. I've been in a West Coast system for like 7 of my 9 years. So it's, you know, obviously little terminology is different here and there between the different West Coast trees and everything, but for the most part, it's been an easy transition. There's definitely some vocabulary I got to learn, but it's like old school learning vocab. You just do like the flashcards. So
you mentioned they're having flashcards. I could see, you know, him going through his cards at night like a young man.
Yeah.
You know, studying for the big test the next day.
It's his homework, getting ready. But I mean, it's why it makes sense to go scoop someone like him up, because as we mentioned, all the injuries up front, like you have to have someone that could potentially be forced to plug and play. And with Lemieux going on the IR, he's going to be forced to plug and play. But from everything that we've heard about, you know, how comfortable he feels in this offense and just the general playbook, like, yes, he's probably looking at those flashcards, making sure he's getting all the call-outs correctly. The center spot is so important. And Mike has emphasized this a bunch. It's like maybe the second most important position on offense besides the quarterback. So he's going to play a huge role in this game.
Yeah, Connor McGovern, 31 years old, a fifth-round pick in 2016 out of Missouri, went to the Denver Broncos, spent time with the Jets. Now with the New Orleans Saints, heading into a big matchup on Monday Night Football in a definitely, like you mentioned, plug-and-play scenario where this team just signed him this week.
Yep.
And a corresponding move, too, kind of interesting. We'll get onto this a little. They ended up releasing, A.T. Perry.
Yeah.
Kind of a disappointing ending for a wide receiver. There were so many, you know, high hopes for that they had gotten on in the late round of the draft.
I'll just reemphasize what Deuce had kind of said when he was asked about AT. It's just you got to treat it like a job when you're early on in your career and you haven't really proven anything. A former sixth-round pick, someone that flashed it, you know, in live game action during the preseason and even at the end of the regular season last year too. But when it came down to practice, that's what we kept hearing from DA every time that he was asked about him. He's just like, he's not showing enough consistency at practice for us to really give him those live game snaps. He hasn't really seen the field much, which has been a major disappointment, because entering the year, you were hoping this guy would be, you know, kind of take the wide receiver 3 role, where you know you have Olave, you know you have Rashid as your defined top 2 guys. but he wasn't even seeing the field, Steve.
And no, and he was known, too, as, oh, he's going to be that contested catch guy.
Yeah, because he's got the big body to do it, but at the same time, if the coaching staff didn't trust him enough to put him on the field, then, I mean, what can you really do?
No, it was a disappointing ending for A.T. Perry. We'll see where he ends up. Maybe a new change of scenery can help for him. But I thought things were going along fairly well here in New Orleans, but unfortunately could not get on the field. And makes you wonder what will be next for him, because, like I said, I think he's a talented, big body guy, but just definitely needs to get, I guess, more disciplined in his regimen and what he needs to get ready as a pro.
I agree. And so you make that move corresponding by going out and signing McGovern from the Jets practice squad, and obviously it's a needed pickup given all the injuries you got up front.
Yeah, you mentioned with all those injuries, and it's going to be tough facing that guy, Chris Jones, on the other side of that defense for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been talked about a bunch. Everybody, I'm sure you'll be hearing in pregame talking about this guy, too. Well, Connor McGovern's been on the block for a little bit, knows this guy. What does he think makes Chris Jones such a threat?
He's so dynamic. For a guy to be that big and that quick, he has that natural ability that I think all great D-linemen have of feeling, you know, if you could only be tilted or leaning just one way, just the, you know, half a pound of pressure, but he feels that and he takes advantage of it, just like all really, really good defensive linemen do. And he's got it all.
Yeah, and McGovern's got a, you know, big test, obviously, going against this Chiefs defense. They've been more potent than that Kansas City offense to start the year, but that's also, Charlie, very scary, obviously. We mentioned, I think, Travis Kelce, far from being quote-unquote washed, and Patrick Mahomes struggling this season with 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That just worries me even more, too, even though I know he is lacking those offensive weapons right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a magic man. So
exactly,
at any point, he can turn, like I said, Justin Watson or Juju Smith-Schuster into, you know, wide receiver ones if he has to. That's just kind of how he makes the guys around him better. Now, the one thing going back to the defense with, you know, the Saints offensive line versus the Chiefs defensive line, one thing that stands out to me, both of these teams have really good run defenses.
Right.
Like, that's something we haven't really mentioned yet so far. As far as the Chiefs, they rank 8th in the NFL with 99 yards per game allowed on the ground. The Saints are 7th, so, you know, right back and forth. Saints give up 96.5. So not only do I think the Saints have the advantage as far as the secondary versus the Chiefs' weapons because, you know, Hollywood Brown is out, you know, Rashee Rice is out, you have Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, that's who he's going to be throwing to, Mahomes, obviously. But at the same time, the rushing attack for the Chiefs without Isaiah Pacheco, who's the back that scares you there, the Saints' run defense has been pretty solid this year. So you feel like you have a couple of advantages there. At the same time, the Saints' rushing offense versus the Chiefs' rushing defense is the key. And without Taysom Hill, that's obviously a big hit to what you want to do on the ground.
For sure.
But when you're averaging close to 150 yards per game on the ground so far this year, which is 7th in the NFL, and you're going against an elite rushing defense in the Chiefs, which ranks 8th, allowing 99, that's kind of strength versus strength. And I know, once again, no Taysom Hill's involved, but at the same time, when you have Alvin there and potentially Jamal getting some carries, we'll see what happens.
It's crazy to say, but right now the Saints have more weapons than this Kansas City Chiefs team because of who is healthy.
Yeah, exactly. The injuries play a huge role in that. When the Chiefs are fully healthy, Rashee Rice is a very underrated receiver, but his quarterback took him out against the Chargers when he kind of rolled into his knees. So, yeah, I would agree. And I think the Saints defense does have the capability to slow down this Chiefs offense because, as you mentioned, of the injuries.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, can Derek Carr and the Saints offense be able to match up against this really, really strong Chiefs defense so far?
What is definitely key is the run game for the Chiefs. You're just talking about really lacking right now with no Pacheco. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, and Carsten Steele. That's who you're looking at as your running back trio for this Chiefs squad right now. Nobody is scaring you here. Obviously, you got to play still Rollitt, solid run defense here. This is the NFL, but there's not that Saquon. There's not that Bijan that's scaring you in this matchup.
Absolutely not. And I think that one of the Chiefs reporters we talked to from the Chiefs radio network this past week, it basically said, like, Carsten Steele, you can kind of pencil him out because he's got fumble issues. And when you have fumble issues, Andy Reid's going to sit you on the bench, and you're not going to get many carries. Kareem Hunt, I think they went and scooped him up, like, last week, like maybe a week and a half ago. You know, once it came out that Pacheco was going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, they go and get someone that's kind of familiar with this system. You kind of seeing the similarities here with going out and scooping up someone like Kareem Hunt versus the Saints going out and getting someone like McGovern. At the same time, as you mentioned, Steve, no one on that running back room really terrifies you like a Saquon or like a Bijan or the top running backs in the league. So it's going to be fun to see, like, the Saints defense versus the Chiefs offense. I think there are some advantages that the Saints have, it's probably going to be a lower scoring game if I had to kind of project just based off of that. And then also the Chiefs defense being the reason they've won so many games this year, how the Saints offense matches up against them.
It definitely feels like a lower scoring matchup, obviously, when you have two of the top tier defenses in the NFL right now. And obviously on the Saints side of things, the offensive line's being banged up. The Chiefs side of things, just a whole many, much of their offensive weapons not involved in this game. Definitely though scary when you got Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes still. What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, we're going to hear what our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, said with defensive tackle Colin Saunders in this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team he knows well from playing there for a while. So when we get back, we'll hear from Jeff with Colin Saunders right here on First Take here on WWL, the Rasses Market on Barone Street. Who dat? Welcome back into a special edition of WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from the Rasses Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. Want to remind folks that Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global, innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations, $8,240 for the season. We'll keep tabs on that and update you at the end of the game on the Ciroc Point After with the final total after Week 5. Getting ready for Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Saints. Defensive tackle Colin Saunders spent a couple years in Kansas City and caught up with our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak on what it's like playing the Chiefs and also facing off against a guy like Chris Jones. Here it is.
With Chris, he moves around a lot. Mm-hmm. And how much of that is called versus how much of that is...
He does that on his own.
Yeah, how does that work?
He gets the call, knows what each person does in that call, and then he goes to where he wants to go to in that play. So, you know, if the three tech has something less desirable than the end, he's going to go to end. If the three tech has something... You know, like three tech got somewhere, it's like, all right, you get the one-on-one, he's probably going to go to the three tech. But, you know, it's just kind of knowing the play, knowing what they have on that play, and then going to what, you know, he wants to do for that play.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like even when the play is called, he doesn't even know necessarily until he sees the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something that happens very often. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that just because he's so talented?
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer when he gets done with this. And so, you know, Spags kind of and then you got to realize too that relationship. I mean, Spags got there the year I got there, I believe, in 2019, and now it's 2024, so they've been, you know, bonding through the same defense for 5 or 6 years, whatever, now. And and they, you know, like, now they have the trust into, okay, I know this is where this play is going, this is where we got to stunt to. Then I would rather do this. Like, if I was a three, I would have to contain. But since I know that, you know, it's that trust of knowing the defense well enough to be like, well, I know that the three has contained right here, so I want to go to the end so I can go into the defense instead of, you know, looping out to contain. So it just comes with that, like, knowing the defense, knowing it well. Like, I knew the defense really well, obviously, and then I felt like that contributed to, you know, my best year before I left there. So it's just kind of knowing that defense and getting a chance to work in it instead of just playing in it, you know what I mean?
Were there ever times where it was like, hey, no, I want this matchup? You
know? He always takes precedent for sure. he gets first dibs, absolutely. But, you know, usually it's but also, you know, just and me when I was on there, but also like the guys that are still on there, like Nadi and Mike Pinnell, like those are very close friends of mine. Turk Warden, and Turk actually plays three tech, I think, behind him and then rushdowns. Then Mike Pinnell and Nadi are more of the base down guys. But yeah, they, you know, their play styles complementary because Chris is the three tech, and then you got Nadi and Mike are the noses, and they're true noses. So, you know, they play so well with each other because of that, because they, you know, they're complementary to each other.
Gotcha. Cool. I mean, you must be exciting for this to be the Monday night game.
Yeah, yeah. Like, literally a primetime game, and that's just, can't wait, man. I can't wait. I want to see how it's going to get out there. Should get some love, though, but I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about getting some stats, getting some sacks.
Are you and Tyron going to have a competition, see who gets the loudest?
No, it'll be me.
Yeah.
It'll be me, for sure.
That was Saints defensive tackle Colin Saunders, spent a bunch of years, 2019 draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now been in black and gold the past two seasons. We're going to wrap up First Take after this break. Coming back with more right here on WWL. Closing out this special edition of First Take, we are brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. Broadcasting from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone in the CBD. And that's where the Cajun Cannon has just arrived for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Coming up right after this at 5 o'clock. Want to remind everybody to First Take, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Looking at this black and gold line going into this game, 5.5-point underdogs for this Monday night matchup in Kansas City. We'll see how the Saints end up faring. Coming up, a 7:15 kickoff on WW on the Odyssey app. Coming up next, though, Bud Light countdown to kickoff, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.